Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this surprise edition of the BunnyCast podcast. Now, if you've subscribed to this podcast for a while, you will have realised that pretty much every edition is a surprise edition because I do not do them on any form of schedule. I disappear for months on end and then boom, they're back. But this is genuinely a surprise one. And I say that because it's going to feature material never before seen, heard, read, or otherwise that features Bunny McGarry. That's right. Now, I'm not going to explain exactly what yet because this is what we call in the business a teaser. So, that's in the business. I mean, outside of the business, a teaser is just some little fecker you were in school with who keeps telling people that you weed yourself on a school trip. And I never did, Dave. Anyway, where's Dave now? I mean, I don't know, but I've got a podcast, so who's winning? I mean, possibly Dave. I don't know, I can't really judge. But anyway, before we get to that, though, I hope you're all well. It's 2022, and, you know, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you've survived. If you haven't, then turns out they've got podcasts in the afterlife. I'm surprised by that fact and not a little depressed, but there we go. Let me explain what's going on in my world, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a very exciting time. I have, brace yourself, not one, but two books coming out in the next 2 months. I know. Give yourself a moment to process that incredible piece of information. Unless you're on my mailing list, in which case you already knew it. But I'm going to assume you aren't. But yes, so let's explain what's happening. There's going to be a new Bunny book in March, on the 17th of March, because that's St. Patrick's Day, ladies and gentlemen, and I know a little bit thing about marketing or two. But before that, though, This Charming Man, which is book two of The Stranger Times, comes out on February the 17th. Now, if you're not aware of The Stranger Times, I won't give the spiel again, because it feels like I'm sure some of you may have heard it three or four times. Newspaper set in Manchester, weird and wonderful stuff. It's a paranormal sort of thriller written by me with the same typical funny nonsense that I do in every other book, to be honest. You know, my voice, as we call it in the biz. Yes, very much in present. So now, Strange Times, I'm delighted to say book one is now out in paperback. And very big in Germany, by the way. Very big in Germany, yeah. Yeah, people say the Germans have no sense of humour. Nonsense. As far as I'm concerned, they have the best sense of humour in the world. I'm only saying that because there's big displays in my books in shops in Germany, and I'm a very, very shallow man. Having said that, always love the Germans. Now, but yes, Stranger Times is now on paperback in the UK and everywhere else as well, which is cool because bookshops are now open. I've been in them. I've signed them. That was pretty cool because... Not to, you know, I'll pull the curtain back for you a bit, folks, but when you write books, you quite like the idea of standing in a fancy bookshop and beside the shelf and sort of pointing at them a bit. And I was actually in a bookshop, this is true, by the way. I was in a bookshop like 2 days ago, and I was chatting to a lovely lady, Sophie, who works there. It's a Waterstones in Deansgate in Manchester. And I was explaining the book tour and stuff, and a guy was in the cafe and apparently heard me chatting about it, came up and said, "Oh, that sounds really interesting," and bought one of the books I just signed. So I'm now going to just sit in Waterstones Cafe all day and just sell books. That's my new business plan. I've had worse ideas. But yes, that's out next month. Do pre-order. It's going to be on audiobook, the ebook, the hardback. If you do want a hardback, by the way, I mean, thank you very much. That's if you want to be extra supportive, we love that. If you go to thestrangertimes.com and look it up, you can actually do a thing where if you buy pre-order a hardback, you can get a signed special limited edition St. Valentine's card, Stranger Times St. Valentine's card, signed by me and a signed insert to put into your book so it's signed with a personalised message. Or you can get yourself the ebook of Firewater Blues, which is the next Bunny McGarry book. That is book six in the increasingly inaccurately titled Dublin Trilogy. That's out on March 17th. You can get it a few weeks beforehand if you sign up and do the whole pre-order thing. Basically, we're trying to get people to pre-order hardback books because publishing in Britain works in a weird way where it doesn't matter how many books you sell so much as how many hardback books you sell. So if you want to do us a favour, buy a hardback. There you go. That's the honest answer for you. But yes, if you want to do all that, wonder why if you sort it all out, get over to the website, strangertimes.com, or check in the emails. But yes, Firewater Blues... is, do you remember how Dead Man Sins, if you're not aware of this, there's book five in the Dublin Trilogy, Dead Man Sins was the follow-up to Angels in the Moonlight, which was the prequel to the series. So for those of you paying attention, I wrote a sequel to a prequel. Well, I've now written a sequel to the sequel. So that's right, there's now, this one is now set in the year 2000, just a couple of months after Dead Man Sins. It features Bunny, it features Decky, it features Commissioner Ferguson. Decky's trying to get an education. I say trying to, he's trying to avoid an education, but people's trying to keep trying to give him one. And Bunny finds himself in, still on sabbatical, but finds himself in all kind of trouble trying to help out an old friend of his. And what we're about to have, ladies and gentlemen, is the good news for audiobook listeners, because normally my books come out and then we get months of emails saying, when's the audiobook coming out? And I understand how frustrating it is. Here's the good news for you. Not only is This Charming Man out on audiobook on February the 17th as well, but Morgan C. Jones, who does all the Bunny books and does such a wonderful job for us, he is recording Firewater Blues right now. And I said, Morgan, bung us over some of the early chapters. I'll stick them out because, the Bunny Mafia would love to hear an early sample of the book. So that's what you're about to hear, ladies and gentlemen. You're about to hear Chapter 2 of Firewater Blues, read, of course, by Morgan C. Jones. All you need to know is basically an incident that happens in Chapter 1 where a couple of arseholes are doing horrible things to homeless people, setting them on fire, and Bunny deals with the situation in his own inimitable fashion. That's all you need to know. So there's no spoilers here. That's literally the first chapter, but this is going to be Chapter 2, and I won't explain anything else about it. Other than to say, as always, thanks for your support. There'll be another one of these in a couple of weeks. I'm going to drop another chapter before the book's coming out. And, remember I said I was in Deansgate in Manchester? This 99.8% of you won't care about this, but Waterstones, Deansgate, Manchester, fingers crossed, do check my social media, but we're hoping to have a live event there on February the 17th in support of the release of This Charming Man. And that, just check, hopefully you can get, I'll be signing books and I'll be chatting to a wonderful man called Phil Mealy, who, if you know British comedy, you'll know him. He was one of the writers with Craig Cash of Early Doors, a brilliant sitcom based in Manchester. And before that, he was on The Royal Family with Craig and Caroline. Really just incredible comedic pedigree. And he's a mate of mine and he's agreed to come and do that, which is fantastic. So we'll be doing that on February the 17th. There'll be an online launch on February the 16th. Just check my Facebook and all that and you'll see that. And the Firewater Blues, we will have the online launch of that on March 17th, as in Paddy's Days, when me and the Morgan C. Jones will be appearing live via satellite. I mean, is it satellite? Technically, I mean, it's via the internet, but satellite sounds so much better, doesn't it? I mean, people do creepy things on the internet, but by a satellite, that sounds like it's proper. That sounds like it's Live Aid. So Morgan will be joining me anyway to chat all things the Buddy Books, answer your questions, and that'll be on March 17th. At 8 p.m. UK/Irish time. But before that, here, as promised, I've rambled enough by the hardback of This Charming Man. But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, here is the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Morgan C. Jones, reading Chapter 2 of Firewater Blues.
Chapter 2. There is a flame that never goes out. Bunny sat and stared into the styrofoam cup he'd been given. Having drunk its contents, he still couldn't say with anything close to certainty whether it had been tea or coffee. Beggars couldn't be choosers, though, even temporary ones. He looked up as the door to the interview room opened.
Detective Inspector Fintan O'Rourke, we have to stop meeting like this.
Never a truer word spoken. O'Rourke held his coat draped over his arm and wore an expression that indicated bonhomie might be in short supply. He was a few years older than Bunny, but the man was the embodiment of the word svelte, the result of being the kind of smug bastard who somehow finds the time and energy to go jogging. In his mid-30s now, Bunny only ran when he had somebody to catch, and in those situations, adrenaline compensated for all manner of sins. Still, he'd been alarmed at how out of puff he'd been after just a relatively short run through Temple Bar. It was time to have a serious think about having a serious think about changing a few things.
What are you doing here at 4 a.m, Detective Inspector? Did you piss somebody off?
I'm beginning to think I must have done, Bunny. Possibly God. The DI pulled out the chair opposite, sat down, and tossed a copy of an arrest report onto the table in front of him.
As you well know, I'm here because you're here. Again.
So I suppose the question should be, what am I doing here?
Yes. Or, more precisely,
What were you doing sleeping outside the central bank at 3 a.m?
Bunny shrugged.
I wasn't actually asleep. I was only resting.
O'Rourke rolled his eyes.
Thing is, while the pay might not be what any of us consider fair, you're a detective in An Garda Síochána, and although you're currently on sabbatical, you're not homeless. I've been to your home.
You have? Agreed Bunny.
In fact, you were part of a raid on it a few months ago.
You know that wasn't me.
Bunny drummed his fingers on the table.
Would you believe they've still not paid me for the new front door, or that ceramic duck they broke? That was a present.
A good one?
No, but 'tis the principle of the thing.
Even for you, this is one hell of a way to lodge a complaint.
O'Rourke leaned forward, put his elbows on the table, and held his face in his hands.
I am so far beyond tired at this point, Bunny. I could really do without this shit.
Don't blame me. I didn't call you.
No, but the powers that be have decided that you're a problem. What's worse, for reasons I don't understand, they've made you my problem.
He raised his hand to stop Bunny's objection before it started.
I know. You don't see it that way. What a shock. How about...
O'Rourke drew back and wrinkled his nose.
What the hell is that smell?
Bunny folded his arms.
I'm undercover.
O'Rourke waved a hand in front of his face and gagged.
Nobody needs to be that convincing. Besides, a minute ago you were only resting, and now you're deep undercover. Which is it?
Bunny said nothing to this.
Condolences, by the way, said O'Rourke. I hear your little hurling team got demolished in that final you made.
Bunny's eyes narrowed, and O'Rourke sensed that maybe there were some buttons you didn't press.
Fine, O'Rourke conceded. Moving on. First off, other than being an awkward sod, why did you feel compelled to get involved?
Involved in what?
It was clear from O'Rourke's face that the jousting section of their chat was over. Bunny shrugged.
Mickey Flynn is a friend of mine.
This elicited a blank expression from the DI until Bunny added,
Homeless gentleman, currently in the matter with second and third degree burns over 60% of his body.
O'Rourke nodded awkwardly.
It isn't my case.
Whose is it?
There's a task force of about 24 bodies working on it.
Is that right?
It is, said O'Rourke. By way of explanation, he added, It got a lot of press, and it might be an election year.
Bunny laughed.
It's Ireland. Every year is an election year.
Ain't that the truth, said O'Rourke. But seeing as our current Taoiseach is hanging up his expense-claiming pen, and with the party conference this weekend to decide the next one, well, everything's a bit political at the moment.
Still, it's great to see we're pushing the boat out to take care of the homeless community in these stressful political times. 24 officers on this task force, is it? I think I met a couple of them yesterday.
Did you? Asked O'Rourke. Let me guess. As a fellow officer, you offered to assist them in their investigation, given your invaluable connections garnered through years on the beat?
I never got the chance. One of them opened the conversation by nudging me with his foot, and the other threatened to arrest me for public intoxication. quite the case study in community policing.
O'Rourke leaned back and huffed at the ceiling.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Might be a bit of a training moment, that. Like I said, not my investigation. Whose is it?
O'Rourke paused, and Bunny could tell the precise second at which the DI decided that lying would be too much effort.
Granger's. And how is the Minister for Justice's nephew?
He had a journo embedded in his task force, and given that you've embarrassed him and them, I'd imagine he's over the fucking moon. I have to ring him back after we're done here. Safe to say, you can add him to your extensive list of enemies.
Oh, he's been on there for a while.
Why am I not surprised?
I'm shocked he's not here himself. Up grafting every hour God sends to get a result. His work ethic is legendary.
O'Rourke gave Bunny a knowing look and left it at that.
Moving on.
He indicated the arrest report on the desk in front of him.
Can I just clarify a couple of the details about what happened tonight?
What's there to clarify? I was sitting there, minding my business, and two scumbags tried to flambé me.
Yes, said O'Rourke. And thank God they were unsuccessful in their endeavour. Still though, am I reading this correctly? You chased them with a flaming hurling stick. I mean, I assume Garda Wilkes, who wrote this report, isn't using colloquialisms there.
No, said Bunny. My hurley was on fire, right enough.
Did they?
I set it on fire myself.
O'Rourke sighed.
Course you did. Do I want to ask why?
Have you read any George R. R. Martin?
Let's assume I haven't.
You should. I've been trying to widen my reading choices. Tried a bit of epic fantasy, and I'm enjoying it. One of the characters has a flaming sword. The idea had a certain je ne sais quoi.
I bet it did,
said O'Rourke, flipping the report over.
Maximum bang for your buck in terms of putting on a show. Are you trying to get yourself booted off the force? Is that it?
For catching criminals?
O'Rourke clenched his right fist in frustration.
When you're on sabbatical? Yes.
At no point did I attempt to arrest the suspects. They attempted to assault me and I defended myself. They ran. As a concerned citizen, I gave chase while endeavouring to get the attention of a serving member of the Garda Síochána.
And how were you doing that, exactly?
Well, I figured a lunatic running through Temple Bar waving a flaming horn about. That's the kind of thing that traditionally gets everyone's attention, including the Gardaí's. And, to be fair, it did.
Oh, yes. Agreed O'Rourke. No arguments there. Gardaí Wilkes and Murphy were on the opposite side of the Liffey. They came running over the Halfpenny Bridge when you and your quarry appeared out of the Merchant's Arch laneway. By the time they reached you, one of the suspects, an Arnold Canavan, was in the river.
Bunny stabbed the table with his finger.
You can't pin that on me. He jumped in of his own accord. Didn't even try for the bridge. Maybe he's afraid of bridges. That's a thing. I've seen a TV programme about it.
Sure,
said O'Rourke, flipping to page 2 of the report.
Or maybe he wasn't thinking straight. If memory serves... Yes, here it is.
He ran his finger along a line of text and read it aloud,
Mr. Canavan thought he was being chased by a demon.
You fucking nerve, muttered Bunny. What those two scumbags were up to, and he thinks I'm the demon?
Well, I believe he was on drugs at the time. Probably explains why he jumped into the river too.
Bunny laughed.
Between you and me, he leapt straight in without looking. The gobshite is lucky it wasn't low tide.
True. Although that would have at least removed the problem of him not being able to swim.
How is that my fault?
Asked Bunny, stretching his arms out wide.
I mean, in this day and age, I thought everyone could swim. His mate certainly could.
Yes, a Richard Drake. According to Officer Murphy, you threw him in after Mr. Canavan.
I most certainly did not.
It may have looked like that from a distance,
but he was actually mad keen to save his buddy. I was trying to hold him back.
Right. So you didn't...
O'Rourke scanned the report again.
Lift him up off the ground and physically hurl him into the Liffey?
Absolutely not. That young man deserves great credit for that unassisted act of heroism. After we're done locking him up and throwing away the key, I reckon he should be up for some kind of award or something. Or at least one of those swimming badges they give you if you can rescue a brick from the bottom of a swimming pool in your jimmy jammies.
O'Rourke snatched up the arrest report, folded it in half, and shoved it into his inside jacket pocket.
All right, Bunny. Enough nonsense. Just so I know. How did you happen to be in the right place at the right time?
Off the record.
For fuck's sake! What part of this conversation did you think was on the record?
Bunny puffed out his cheeks.
I asked about. There have been incidents stretching back a few months. Assaults. Hassles. Always late at night from guys in their late teens, early 20s. Once you started to pay attention, it was fairly clear there was a set area and an established pattern. I figured the most likely spots, and for the last few nights, I've been moving between them.
O'Rourke pursed his lips for a moment.
Sincerely, that is an outstanding bit of policing.
Thanks.
The only problem is, you're not currently a member of the bloody police. A lawyer could have a field day with this, and you know that.
Bunny shrugged.
The last I saw of our two twisted fire starters, they were singing like canaries. Is that not the case?
Yes, it is, conceded O'Rourke. Not only have they both given full confessions, but one of them has also asked to see a priest. Then, of course, there's the fact the other one helpfully videotaped the whole thing.
Really?
Even more helpfully, the thing cuts out as you're chasing them.
Bunny stretched out his arms and yawned.
So, job's a good one. What are we doing here? Doesn't seem like there's any reason for you to have been dragged from the loving embrace of your wife.
How is she, by the way?
Still hates you. Hate is a very strong word.
You got into a fight with a large wading bird at our wedding.
Seriously, is she still going on about that?
O'Rourke tilted his head to one side.
Women get very touchy about people fucking up their wedding day. Until she has another one. Don't expect to make the Christmas card list.
Bunny scratched his armpit.
So, can I get out of here then? I'll be honest, I've never appreciated the idea of my own bed more.
And even I think I could use a shower. We can all go home once you've seen sense.
Bunny raised his eyebrows.
How so? The good news is that no less than the Commissioner himself has agreed we can say your sabbatical ended 4 weeks ago, and your pay will reflect that. While I've always fancied the idea of time travel, let me stop you there. No. No, I'm not going to pretend that I was part of that useless gobshite Granger's task force.
O'Rourke exhaled loudly.
Are you deliberately trying to be awkward?
Deliberately? No. I'm just doing what comes naturally.
All right. As your friend, can you explain to me what the hell is going on? This sabbatical of yours. I mean, initially, I got it. Gringo died. You needed some time away. But it's been what? 4 or 5 months now? Are you punishing yourself? Having some kind of breakdown? Or have you just decided you'd rather not be a copper anymore? Instead, you'd rather be a pain in our collective arse.
Bunny paused for a few seconds and looked down at his fingers.
Honestly, I'm not sure myself.
Then just come back.
He shook his head.
I'm not ready yet.
O'Rourke drew a breath.
Any idea when that will be?
Bunny shrugged.
Of course not. Fair warning. After this morning's little adventure, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be dragged in front of the Commissioner in a few hours. At a guess, he might decide to force the issue. There's only so long he's going to be willing to have you outside the tent pissing in.
Jesus, what I'd have given to have had a tent for the last few nights. You ever tried to sleep in the middle of a city, Fintan? I've never felt more shattered in my life.
O'Rourke got to his feet.
You and me both, Bunny. You and me both.
Any chance of a lift?
And have you stinking out my brand new car? No way. I'll ask one of the uniforms to drop you home.
Thanks for listening to the Bunnycast. If you'd like to hear more, then please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts, as that way we know you want them to continue. The audiobooks of all the Dublin Trilogy are available from Audible, iTunes and anywhere else audiobooks are sold. This podcast is written and presented by me, Cuaigh McDonald, with the stories being read by Morgan C. Jones. The audiobook production is by Sound Entertaining Limited. Podcast production is by Richard Massera, with the artwork done by Wonderwife. Copyright everything bar the music, McFory Inc. 2018. And speaking of the music, the killer track you're hearing right now is from Honour Among Thieves, a new band that is a merger of the Bible Code Sundays and Brand New Zeros. Do check them out.